He saw the reflected glare of the lights of the city at what must have been around 10 o'clock at night. They were only perceptible at first, as the light is in the sky before the moon rises. Then they were steady to see across the ocean, which was rough now with the increasing breeze. He steered inside of the glow, and he thought that now, soon, he must hit the edge of the stream. Now it is over, he thought. They will probably hit me again. But what can a man do against them in the dark without a weapon? He was stiff and sore now, and his wounds and all of the strained parts of his body hurt with the cold of the night. I hope I do not have to fight again, he thought. I hope so much I do not have to fight again. But by midnight he fought, and this time he knew the fight was useless. They came in a pack, and he could only see the lines in the water that their fins made and their phosphorescence as they threw themselves in the fish. He clubbed at heads and heard the jaws chop and the shaking of the skiff as they took hold below. He clubbed desperately at what he could only feel and hear, and he felt something seize the club, and it was gone. He jerked the tiller free from the rudder and beat and chopped with it, holding it in both hands and driving it down again and again. But they were up to the bow now and driving in one after the other and together, tearing off the pieces of meat that showed glowing below the sea as they turned to come once more. One came, finally, against the head itself, and he knew that it was over. He swung the tiller across the shark's head where the jaws were caught in the heaviness of the fish's head, which would not tear. He swung it once and twice and again. He heard the tiller break, and he lunged at the shark with a splintered butt. He felt it go in, and knowing it was sharp, he drove it in again. The shark let go and rolled away. That was the last shark of the pack that came. There was nothing more for them to eat. The old man could hardly breathe now, and he felt a strange taste in his mouth. It was coppery and sweet, and he was afraid of it for a moment, but there was not much of it. He spat into the ocean and said, "Eat that, Galanos, and make a dream you've killed a man." He knew he was beaten now finally and without remedy, and he went back to the stern and found the jagged end of the tiller would fit in the slot of the rudder well enough for him to steer. He settled the sack around his shoulders and put the skiff on her course. He sailed lightly now, and he had no thoughts nor any feelings of any kind. He was past everything now, and he sailed the skiff to make his home port as well and as intelligently as he could. In the night, sharks hit the carcass as someone might pick up crumbs from the table. The old man paid no attention to them, and did not pay any attention to anything except steering. He only noticed how lightly and how well the skiff sailed. Now there was no great weight beside her. She's good, he thought. She's sound and not harmed in any way except for the tiller. That is easily replaced. He could feel he was inside the current now, and he could see the lights of the beach colonies along the shore. He knew where he was now, and it was nothing to get home. The wind is our friend anyway, he thought. Then he added, sometimes. And the great sea, with our friends and our enemies. And bed, he thought, bed is my friend. Just bed, he thought. Bed will be a great thing. It is easy when you're beaten, he thought. I never knew how easy it was. And what beat you, he thought. Nothing! He said aloud. I went out too far. When he sailed into the little harbor, the lights of the terrace were out, and he knew everyone was in bed. The breeze had risen steadily and was blowing strongly now. It was quiet in the harbor, though, and he sailed up onto the little patch of shingle below the rocks. There was no one to help him, so he pulled the boat up as far as he could, and he stepped out and made her fast to a rock. He unstepped the mast and furled the sail and tied it. Then he shouldered the mast and started to climb. It was then he knew the depth of his tiredness. He stopped for a moment and looked back and saw in the reflection from the streetlight the great tail of the fish standing up well behind the skiff's stern. He saw the white naked line of his backbone and the dark mass of the head with the projecting bill and all the nakedness between. He started to climb again, and at the top he fell and lay for some time with the mast across his shoulder. He tried to get up, but it was too difficult. And he sat there with the mast on his shoulder and looked at the road. A cat passed on the far side, going about his business, and the old man watched it. Then he just watched the road. Finally, he put the mast down and stood up. He picked the mast up and put it on his shoulder and started up the road. He had to sit down 5 times before he reached his shack. Inside the shack, he leaned the mast against the wall. In the dark, he found a water bottle and took a drink. Then he lay down in the bed. He pulled the blanket over his shoulders and then over his back and legs, and he slept face down in the newspapers with his arms out straight and the palms of his hands up.